Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, the most important Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football Expert League update ever. Plus, it's the Thursday night.
Sorry, Jim.
What's that, Neil?
We don't really feel like doing a preview for this matchup.
Why?
It's gone from Zeke to Eek in 3 weeks. It's a shocker. It's a disgrace. It's shambolic.
What do you want to talk about?
And if I was Eli, I know I'd be very, very angry and probably hiring people from the local elementary school to Ben McAdoo's house.
Eli's benched and a Thursday night football preview is coming for sure. I guarantee it. Here we go.
Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this benched edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader, benched because Eli Manning was benched. It's an amazing thing that has happened here in the middle of the week. Unfortunately, we spent a little bit of time here on the Wednesday show talking about that. We're also going to have an expert league update. It's been a while, but beyond what Kevin from the Fantasy Football Guys and I discuss in terms of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football League, we also get into some real football conversation and how what will happen in real football will impact your fantasy football teams down the road. Eagles fans may want to pay close attention. We also will have the Thursday night football preview between the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys, both those teams in the NFC East. If the Cowboys were to lose, the Eagles could guarantee themselves a spot in the playoffs. That could also be a tease as to why I said Eagles fans may want to pay attention when they're playing fantasy football. So all of that is coming up. But hey, if you haven't subscribed to our show yet, please do. Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Aha Radio, Spreaker.com. Any of those places are great places to subscribe to the show. You won't miss any of our podcasts. We're going to go right through to the Super Bowl. And then, of course, we'll have plenty of off-season content ready and waiting for you, talking about all of the moves that will happen in the off-season from the only perspective that should matter, and that of the 32 super fans. So please subscribe to one of those shows. Leave us a review. It really helps us get found by other people. And you know what else helps us get found by other people? You telling other people about our show, sharing it with a friend. So please do. Please do all of that. Reach out to us via email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Very important Twitter poll will be mentioned later on in this program. And you can also reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. If you want to read any of the superfans' written previews, those are on our Facebook page. See, there's a ding right now about our Facebook page. Go to, our website. Not our Facebook page. Facebook wouldn't ding. A website would ding, though. Nextfanup.wordpress.com. You know who else would ding? Probably Eli Manning. Here's Neil, our Washington Redskins superfan, and Kevin, our Cowboys superfan, talking about the benching of Eli Manning.
Kevin, before we get into this massive matchup this week, let's just hit on a couple of pieces of, perhaps more interesting NFC East news. First of all, our New York Giants, one of our brothers in this division, they are benching their quarterback after 210 consecutive starts, I believe it is. Eli Manning hits the bench, and it's the return of Geno Smith.
Man, can you believe it? If I was Eli Manning, I would be furious. It's like the only thing he's got left going for him at this point in his career. We obviously know Geno Smith's not the answer. At least put in whatever that kid is you drafted. Didn't they draft a quarterback this year? I forget his name.
Didn't they draft the guy Davis?
Yeah, they did. The guy from Cal. What do you want to see from Geno, Brian McAdoo? It makes no sense to me. I mean, obviously the season's lost. I clearly know why you're doing this, but it makes little to no sense. I mean, I would get it more if it was the rookie from Cal Davis, but Geno, why? He's probably not even going to be on the team next year. I mean, it just makes McAdoo, if he wanted to stay in New York, this is really not how he should be doing it. He should probably be staying on Eli's side. Not that Eli's really vocal. I don't know. I don't know what Eli's swing in the front offices is probably rather large. I don't know how vocal he is, but like, yeah.
A few points for you, Kevin. First of all, Brian McAdoo, I think that's Ben McAdoo's brother.
Oh, yes, my apologies.
Secondly, my apologies, because it's Davis Webb, of course, the quarterback they drafted. And thirdly, I would say, do you think, though, Kevin, that this is a McAdoo decision? This surely has to come from higher up the organization. And I'm also reading here just now that they plan to give Davis Webb some time as well. But why bother with Geno Smith? I mean, the season's gone. Play the young guy.
I know. I that's what I don't understand. Like, are you like giving him an extra week of practice, Davis Webb, and just flinging out Geno Smith for this week? I mean, I'm surprised if it comes from the top of the front office. I mean, Eli's going to say in the media, obviously, he doesn't care about the record. It means nothing. That's what all players say. But, like, it's a pretty impressive record, I hate to say. As like, 211 consecutive starts in the NFL at any position, especially quarterback. It's pretty impressive. And if I was Eli, I know I'd be very, very angry and probably hiring people from the local elementary school to egg Ben McAdoo's house.
Okay, one question for you there then, Kevin. Next year, come week one of the season, Eli Manning is starting or on a roster of which team?
I mean, that's a good question, I guess, but it's too early to say any other team besides the Giants right now. Saying any other team besides the Giants right now would just be a complete and wild shot in the dark. I don't even know who would be interested in him.
Jacksonville?
All the quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, Jacksonville with Tom Coughlin connection. That's very possible because Blake Bortles certainly will not be the quarterback in Jacksonville next year. But I'm going to say he's on the Giants starting week one. I mean, Eli's had a lot of bad seasons in his career. I don't think the Giants – I mean, as poorly as the Giants have played this year and as bad as they are, they've also – to cut them a little slack about a lot of things go the wrong way. I mean, when you lose Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and like Brandon Marshall in the span of like 15 plays in week three and two of them out for the season, it's pretty hard to compete. But yeah, I guess I expect Eli to be the starter next year, week one. It would be pretty, I'm obviously not a Giants fan, but to lose Romo and then Eli in the span of 2 years, it would make me feel really old, Neil. It really would.
Now let's face it. They're sitting at the moment at what, two wins and what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2-9 at the moment. They are close to getting that first overall pick, and of course, playing Geno Smith and Davis Webb is going to help them greatly towards that first overall pick. maybe this time next year, Manning will be starting or playing behind. A first-round quarterback, Darnold, Rosen, one of these guys?
That's an interesting question. Do you think that they would spend one of those picks on them? They're going to have a top-five pick. It's pretty obvious by now. I don't think they're going to spend it on one of those two quarterbacks. They really don't. What they really need, as you know, is an offensive line. And putting a rookie quarterback, no matter how highly touted they are, behind that turnstile of an offensive line, it's just not going to end well for anyone. So they really need to fix it from the inside out before they start making any like fancy moves, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. I guess it also depends for the start of next season who the coach is going to be, I guess.
That's true. I mean, I'll be shocked if it's McAdoo. How could it be? He's an absolute clown. And looking him out on the sidelines, like, wow, the sun shining off your greasy hair. I can't even watch the game. I'm going blind.
Hey, that's how you're going to look in about 35 years. But
well, you know, the other thing that Eli could do if he doesn't want to spend any money at the local elementary schools to get them to egg Bob McAdoo's house is you could get them all nice gifts from Harry shaving. You know, of course, it'd be the older kids, the high school kids. But, you know, Harry's does make a great gift and perhaps a good bribe to egg someone's house. So, you know, go out and get yourself a Harry's gift pack. And you want to know how you do it? Well, you go to harrys.com/nextfanup, and that will help out our show while helping you out as well. Harry's is that perfect gift, though, for that guy that you just don't know what to get for him. Because, listen, every guy's got a shave. So it's going to be a gift that they're going to use over and over again. Every time they use it, they're going to think of you. So this holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Their gift sets were built with your guy in mind. You'll know he'll love them. They come with that German-engineered 5-blade cartridge that provides a close, comfortable shave. And I'll tell you, still no nicks from my Harry's blade. Foaming shave gel that smells amazing. It's got that great man smell. Special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. And you could personalize it with engraving if you wanted to do that. The gift sets start at just $10. They make great stocking stuffers. There's other stocking stuffers available at the website. So as a special offer for our fans, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/nextfanup. And this offer is only available for the holidays. So this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/nextfanup right now. That's harrys.com/nextfanup. All right, let's talk some fantasy football here. It's been a while, but it's time to update you all on the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football Expert League because we're down to the nitty-gritty. One more week of the regular season, and then it's the playoffs, and yours truly was doing well for a while, and then I stubbed my toe. Pretty sure it's the bye weeks. I'm going to blame the bye weeks. Didn't manage the bye weeks properly. And now I'm I need a few things to fall my way to get into the playoffs. But the guy that's on the line with me is the key to everything when it comes to how the playoffs will shake out, and that is Kevin Moore of the Fantasy.
I like being in the driver's seat, my friend.
So looking at the standings right now, there's only one team that is guaranteed a spot in the playoffs, and that is Matt Friedman of the Oracle's Audibles. He is in no matter what. If he wins or loses, no one's dethroning him out of the playoffs. Now, he could lose the top seed. He's currently the top seed in the playoffs, but a lot of different things would have to happen for him to lose the top seed.
Yeah, and I'm not real sure that having the top seed does that much for you in this playoff format.
Right, because only the top four teams out of the 14 are going into the playoffs, 2 weeks for each round. So it will be interesting. And the way that this season has gone, I mean, more than 50% of the league is at 500 or above, which, of course, is the way it's supposed to work out. But
especially in a league like this, yeah.
Yeah, but in this in particular, we have Fantasy Football Almost Daily would be the second seed going in, Matt Harrison. Eat Sleep Fantasy is the third seed as we speak right now. And you are currently the fourth seed based on total points four, which... we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I forgot who it was that I was talking to, that it was probably going to come down to scoring because this league is super, super tight. Three of us sit at 7-5, and there are two other teams at 6-6. Now, those two other teams at 6-6 will need a whole heck of a lot to happen. And actually, I think it's physically impossible for them to actually get into the playoffs because you, I believe, are facing one of the other potential playoff teams, right?
That's a heck of a question. I think, let's see, I'm going up against, in week 13, I'm going up against Pyromaniac.
Okay, it's not you. It is, it's the Keepers. So the Keepers, which is Chris, and he's at 7-5 and currently the fifth seed, which means he's out, but he's only one out, is facing Eat Sleep Fantasy, Armando. Who is currently the third seed. And then I am facing the Williams sisters, and I am the sixth seed looking for a couple of people to lose. Basically, this is how I figured it out. I need you to lose no matter what.
Well, I'm going to try to disappoint you greatly, my friend.
But then I also need Chris to lose. I actually need Armando to keep winning. If Armando loses, my chances of making it into the playoffs become fairly small. Yours get that much better, even if you do lose.
So let me ask you this. It's the top four. It doesn't matter from which division they come. Is that correct?
It is, except I believe the winner of the other division is automatically guaranteed in the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
That's how it works out.
By record, you would assume that's the case. You could have one from one division and three from the other.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So it's all kinds of weird things could happen if the Williams sisters beat you and I lose and Chris loses. That would really be convoluted.
Oh, yeah. It would become, Matt, Team Football by Football could sneak in some way too. Let me look at all the scoring points here. Yes. So he would actually have an opportunity to sneak in too if he manages to win his match this week. So there's a lot on there are a lot of different scenarios that could play out here in week 13. Ultimately,
all of them fall by the wayside if I catch this up.
Yeah. If you win, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, because I would have to outscore you by like 100 and something points, and that's not going to happen in 1 week.
Is it really that deep? Because I have 1,223.4 and you have 1,000. Yeah, you need a lot of points, man. You would need me to basically not field a team.
Right. If you'd like to just take everybody out of your starting lineup right now and then just forget about it. That would be great, Kevin. I would appreciate that.
I'll work on that. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because it's not unrealistic that I'm going to be really, really short on wide receivers this week. Because I was really counting on Stephon Diggs and Robert Woods to carry me to the end. But as we all know, Robert Woods is oot. And I really don't have – I had Kenny Stills on my bench, so – I didn't really have a backup plan there, so I'm going to be making some waiver claims for some high upside receivers the next day. Thankfully, you know, Mixon is starting to be somebody. And you remember back when in the draft show when I picked up Mark Ingram and you were like, are you sure you want to do that with AP?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I'm sure I do. And then you picked AP.
I did.
How's that working out for you?
You're not very well. It worked better when he got traded to the Cardinals at least a couple weeks.
Well there.
But yeah, he's not the AP that I was hoping he was going to be. And honestly, the fact that Mark Ingram is getting it done while Alvin Kamara is getting it done too, also very non-Saints like.
Which makes them a very scary out in the playoffs, I think.
It really does. The Saints were sort of that scary team that we weren't talking about a couple weeks ago. Now more people are talking about them, and they've got an important chunk of games. It's funny, in the NFC, if you look at the real football standings, if you look at the AFC, a lot of teams that have losing records right now are still alive because the Chiefs have just basically become a shell of themselves and have allowed all these teams to get back into it. In the NFC, there's a lot of teams with high records, with big winning records, you know, 2-3 games over 500. But big important chunks of the season still to come. With what are we at? We got like 5 weeks left in the regular season in real football.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that can still shake out in the NFC, despite the fact that it looks like things are set in stone in the NFC. They're really not. There's still a lot of movement happening in real football. And all of that will obviously affect fantasy playoffs as teams look to their playmakers to make plays.
And that's where, the format for our playoffs is, 2 weeks for a semi and 2 weeks for the final. You know, are some of these NFC teams going to be sitting players? You look at the Eagles. I mean, they have two tough games on the road coming up. If they lose both of those, then all of a sudden it's the Vikings. And, it does week 17 for the Eagles against the Cowboys mean anything? Is Carson Wentz going to be sitting? All kinds of those questions. So As we sit here with a week 17 final game, you know, those are considerations we have to take into account as well. Those of us who are, you know, actually in the playoffs.
Right. Right. And that's what it all comes down to. I mean, you win, you're in. If you lose, all sorts of things can open up. And I obviously, my only chance of getting in is by me winning and you losing. So losing would be nice. Now I'm looking at your opponent. The other interesting thing I was going to bring up before I get into some more of these stricter details, mm-hmm. all four of the top seeds right now are all new people to the Expert League, which I'm almost proud that is exactly the way it worked out. At the same time, I'm a little scared that's the way it worked out.
Your future. Yeah.
but all four of the top seeds are brand new to the Fantasy Expert League.
Excellent. Who won last year?
Last year, I believe, was it Razball? Yeah, Jay from Razball ended up winning last year.
Yeah, something's wrong there. He's not doing so well.
He struggled this year. D-Rex of Pyromaniac.com was in the top four. He struggled, and the Williams sisters looked like they were going to win it all. They went almost wire to wire and end up losing to Jay at Razball in the championship game. That was their only loss of the season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
they did. They pulled the Patriots. So it's interesting to see that. And then if, as you look at the standings, at who's after those top four, I mean, the keepers, Chris is a new member of the Fantasy League, but then you have the Williams sisters, you have me, you have Matt Chatham. Pro Football Weekly was a member last year, but Kyle Neighbors is now running that team. So technically a new member, if you will. It's been an interesting season for us and a lot of parity in this league. We all sort of, there weren't many trades, if there were any trades at all. But
I think I made a trade for Matt Stafford, I believe. And I think that was my only trade because I was really having trouble at quarterback for a couple of weeks as Rivers was potentially out and I had Case Keenum and I didn't really want Case Keenum. So I made a trade for Matt Stafford. That was my only trade all year. I was all right with that.
Yeah, it might have been Jay from Razball or D-Rex from Pyromaniac that I had this conversation with. In these expert leagues, we all like to sort of sit on our draft knowledge, more so than sort of pulling off the trade. Because none of us are going to get suckered. You're not going to get a sucker trade in this type of league because we all know better. What's interesting about that is, in another league I'm in, a 20-man league, by the way, where I have secured a playoff spot and a first-round bye, I'm trying to make a trade with the number one seed because he's without a quarterback, and he's just refusing to trade me the value that he should see in me trading him a quarterback. I even wrote back to him. I'm like, you do understand it goes against me to trade you a quarterback right now.
Right.
But he doesn't see it that way. So I'm like, all right, well, then you can lose in your first matchup. And I will hold on to both Tom Brady and Alex Smith. And you will suffer for it. And I will continue to play the wrong quarterback on any given week. Right.
So who's he playing at quarterback?
Like Joe Flacco? Paxton Lynch this last week. And Lynch is now out. So I'm looking at his roster. He's got like DeShone Kizer. The strength of his team has been in his running backs, Kareem Hunt, Jonathan Stewart. He's got a couple other big performers on his team that's sort of propelled him through a 20 team league. If you've got that much depth at any of those positions, you're going to do quite well. But yeah, him being without a quarterback going into the playoffs is going to hurt him. I'm trying to make a trade with him so that I can improve my tight end and my running back, because right now my starting running back is Derrick Henry, which I'm okay with. But I would love if I could get Kareem Hunt instead of Derrick Henry starting for me in the playoffs, I'll take it. Even with Kareem Hunt sort of on the downswing here, the whole Kansas City Chiefs offense on the downswing. But I can't get him to see that.
Well, then he can lose.
Right. That's sort of the way I look at it.
Trying to do him a favor.
That's the way I look at it. I'm like, all right, well, if you're not going to help me improve my team, I'll still take my team over yours and, you know, Brock Osweiler or whomever, whatever quarterback, DeShone Kizer.
I'm just hoping Devontae Freeman's back this week so I can, you know, have a better shot at winning in our experts league.
Oh, you have Devontae Freeman sitting on your bench?
Ooh. I had Devontae Freeman, which is why this last week I played Mark Ingram, Joe Mixon, and Duke Johnson. Yeah, I have running backs. I have LeGarrette Blount, too. Let's drop to Hundy. But, yeah, it's receivers that I'm lacking.
Oh, that's a shame.
I got to tell you, my most valuable player this year has been Greg the Leg. Greg Zuerlein has been kicking balls this year for me. Literally.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, the reason why I've stumbled is because my stars stopped producing. You know, LeSean McCoy hasn't been LeSean McCoy like. He was my number one draft choice. Marshawn Lynch ended up getting that suspension, essentially. Missed a couple games. And yeah, I've been getting by with patchwork wide receivers. Crowder came on at the right time for me. Marquise Lee, again, had a bad week last week, but has overall been a good find for me. So I've been getting by, but Devontae Booker helped me out, I know, 1 week, but obviously I didn't get the win. Jamal Williams, I didn't play him last week. Probably should have, but what are you going to do? So, still won.
Well, yeah, that's the key. I'm looking at my squad going, how the hell am I winning? So looking at the scoreboard and looking at the coming week, I am not favored to win by ESPN's measure. I'm favored to lose by 7.5 points. Of course, this last week I was favored to lose by like 20, and I won by 60. So don't really have a whole lot of trust in the ESPN prognostication.
I am favored to win by 1.3 points. So I've got a real tough matchup ahead of me.
Yeah, let's see what you got here. Drew Brees. Yeah, McCoy and Lynch. Cooks, Crowder. You got a squad, man. You know, it looks all right to me.
I mean, it looks all right. The problem is going to be, you know, what are the Williams sisters going to throw at me? And basically, I got to hope that CJ Anderson and the Denver offense continues to falter. They've got a game against Miami. So I don't see them faltering. Dak Prescott against the Redskins. That's a playoff game. That will have a playoff atmosphere. So if the Redskins come to play, hopefully they can keep Dak in check. I just worry when you see a team that's performed, and specifically a guy like Dak Prescott, who performed at a certain level, loses his running back and now has been struggling the last couple weeks. I feel like they're gonna good teams. And I will rank the Cowboys as a good team, as much as I just threw up in my mouth from saying that. Yeah. Find a way to fix those problems. I do feel like the Cowboys will find a way to fix what's ailing them right now.
Well, Lyle and I were talking about this on last week's preview show. And, you know, I had the inspiration to say that really, you know, Dak Prescott he's not the guy on that team. It's really Zeke. Zeke is the identity of that offense. Dak is just a facilitator by handing him the ball and throwing it to Witten once in a while. It's really Zeke who's the focus of that whole offense. And when he goes, you know, that's obviously a problem. The same thing with Sean Lee on the other side. He is the engine that drives that defense. So if you look at like the Eagles and you say, okay, well, they lost their left tackle, but they had a guy who could come in and fill in. Okay, they lost the Eagles lost Jordan Hicks, who was their middle linebacker, but they had a guy who can come in, and he wasn't really the focus of that defense. It's really the line that is. And they lost Sproles, but he's not the focus of that offense. It's Wentz. So even though similar pieces were missing, they weren't the focus of that Eagles team, but they really are with Dallas. So Dak is trying to be the focus of that offense, and it's not something he's used to or prepared for. So I don't really see them winning a whole lot more games.
I'm going to have some fun here. I'm going to tell the Williams sisters exactly how to beat me this week. I don't know what's available on the waiver wire, but I might be tempted to see what else is available other than Dak Prescott at quarterback. I'm going to keep Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson in at running back just because I don't see any other options, and I already know the running back waiver wire is very thin. Emmanuel Sanders and Devin Funchess are currently slated for their starting wide receiver position. They have Cooper Kupp sitting on their bench, and they've got Isaiah Crowell in at the flex. I think I would go with the trio of Sanders, Funchess, and Kupp instead of Sanders, Funchess, and Crowell.
We were done well this last week as well.
Yeah. So other than that, they have Will Lutz at kicker, Lions defense. They've got the Bills defense on the bench, which is where it should sit, especially against Brady and the Patriots. So that's the only change I would recommend to them. Sit Crowell and play Kupp, and they should handily beat me. The other way around, they'll only slightly beat me.
Well, I would remove CJ Anderson and put Crowell in that spot. Well, no, the Chargers are pretty staunch against the run. Mm. Yeah, maybe I'd keep CJ Anderson in there in Miami, but I would think about that for the week. I have no trust in CJ Anderson, and Devontae Booker's actually starting to slowly take that gig over. So, yeah, I think I would put Kupp in the flex, but I'd consider moving Crowell into that RB2 spot.
All right, let's see how D-Rex can beat you here.
yeah, let's see.
Let's see here. He's got Kirk Cousins or Andy Dalton. Dalton versus Pittsburgh. Guess I'm going to stick with Kirk Cousins on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Jay Ajayi, Tevin Coleman. You're hoping Devontae Freeman's back, so that will lessen the impact that Tevin Coleman could have and, of course, increase the value that Devontae Freeman has. My concern is it's the Minnesota defense, so I don't know if either running back will put up spectacular points.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that as well. But one thing about that offense is they throw to those guys enough to kind of – the points aren't necessarily always going to be from handoffs. They're going to be from screens and throws to the flat and checkdowns. So I still wouldn't pull Freeman out or even Coleman against Minnesota if I needed them.
Dez Bryant, Martavius Bryant are his wide receivers. That's probably based on what he's got here. Zay Jones, Josh Gordon, Paul Richardson, Dontrell Inman. Do we know if Gordon is playing this week?
Gordon is allegedly playing this week. See, he's the outlier. He's the guy you pop into the flex because they have a new toy and they might just throw to him a lot. And if he's even the shadow of what Josh Gordon was, that could be the game winner right there.
So I might be, I don't know how Philadelphia's secondary is playing. I mean, I know Philadelphia right now is one of the best teams in the NFL. I just don't know what their secondary is like. I might pop in Paul Richardson and Josh Gordon instead of Martavius Bryant and Danny Woodhead, who's currently at his flex.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's got to, he can't really go conservative this week. It's all or nothing, really. Of course, it doesn't really matter. He's not in the playoffs. He can just play spoiler, right?
Right. That's all he's playing for, is playing to be spoiler. I hope you're listening, D-Rex. You're playing as spoiler. I will tweet him to make sure he understands his role.
I'll tweet him and offer him $50 to throw in James Conner and Dontrell Inman.
Oh, that's not good. That's not
and
nice.
Marlon Mack instead of, see, it would really be bad for me if Jay Ajayi was the running back that took me down.
Why is that specifically?
Well, because, you know, if Jay Ajayi scores enough points to beat me in fantasy, that means he's scoring enough points to beat the Seahawks, which as an Eagles fan, I got to have.
Okay. Yeah.
I always put Eagles wins above my own wins.
Oh, trust me. There's another league where I desperately need a win to get into the playoffs, and I'm facing Rob Gronkowski this week, and I'm like, oh, such a horrible spot to be put in.
Yeah, how do you do that? It's tough.
It's, you know, I normally, and I say normally, my son has called me out on this a couple of times the last few weeks. I normally will put the Patriots ahead of my fantasy team. Mm. But my son has recently been saying, Dad, what are you doing? I was like, listen, I love Tom Brady. I can't have him score any more points.
Right. He's scored enough to win. Stop it, Tom.
If he got benched right now, it would be a good thing.
Put Hoyer in.
Right, right. We don't need Tom Brady in there anymore.
See, that's why I always loved Tony Romo as a quarterback, because he'd throw three touchdowns for 320 yards and then throw the pick at the end that would lose it for the Cowboys. That's why Tony Romo to me was the perfect quarterback for fantasy and an Eagles fan.
To wrap this up, looking at your lineup, so just so I can, you know, say I'm not pulling any favorites here. Looking, I don't see anyone on your bench that's going to improve your current starting lineup. Philip Rivers against Cleveland, that's a no-brainer over Matthew Stafford at Baltimore. So if I was going to make any change, that would probably be the only one, and I would not make that change. It doesn't make any sense. Anyone against Cleveland right now is the right call.
Sure, yeah.
All right.
I think getting Stills out of there is job one, really. He didn't do much.
I mean, the question is, what is available? Our waivers have been picked thin because I've been picking them.
Yeah. But, oh, there's some. I'm not going to tell you.
I see somebody right off the bat.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys out here that I'm all over. But, you know, I'll let you know on Thursday who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm going to be targeting like four in hopes that I get one. Maybe even more than four.
See, now the question is, do I start picking up guys? See, this is that strategy thing. Do I start picking up guys just to block other teams from having them? Because
are you going to be that guy? Really?
I don't need a wide receiver, but I will say this, and this will be the only player I'll say about on the waiver wire. So I won't totally taint the pool for you, but Randall Cobb is right on the top of the list. And I saw a stat about Tampa Bay being the worst team versus wide receivers this year, or gives away the most points to wide receivers this year in fantasy.
Did you also see the stat where Brett Hundley can't throw hit a broadside of a barn with a bag of rice? Did you see that stat?
Yeah, but he almost beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week. So
he's improving. Yes, I will give him that.
So I would, if I'm going to roll the dice, I see Randall Cobb. That would be one that I would roll the dice on. There's some other guys, like you mentioned, and I promised I would not mention any other names, so I will not.
Obviously, Randall Cobb is the guy I have to try for. But there are three others up here which I would play over Kenny Stills. Actually, there are more than three, but only a few that I'd actually want.
All right. Well, I can't really say good luck to you, because that would mean I would not be in the playoffs if you have good luck. So here's to you making the wrong decision. And then, you know, hopefully I make the right ones.
Well, it doesn't matter what decision you make, my friend. It's what decision that I make that matters, because if I win, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Well, I still need to win, even if you lose. If I lose and you lose,
we both lose, then somebody else gets to enjoy the playoffs.
Yeah. So I still need to win. But you know what? You win and it doesn't matter if I win.
I'll be magnanimous. I hope you make all the right decisions, dude.
Oh, why? Thank you. See, and that is why you will ultimately win, because the fantasy gods look at that sort of thing and they reward it. And they punish those who wish ill on their fantasy opponents.
And go into waiver wires and just start picking up positions they don't need to block other people from getting those. Fantasy gods don't like that.
I'm not going to do that. Although I was trying to. Here's the other thing. You know, I've got the Seahawks defense and I was riding them. I was riding and dying with them after the bye week. And now, of course, Seahawks defense is not exactly like the Seahawks defense. And they've got a tough part of their schedule, including Philadelphia this week.
Ginger Jesus is on the way. You don't want to mess with him.
There is no one. There is not a defense to stream on the waiver wire unless you want to be that guy that's going to take a risk and roll the Raiders out versus the Giants. That's a risky play.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, I can't give you any better play than that, really. I mean, yeah, I guess
there's not a better play. You're not gonna trust the Cardinals against the number one offense in the NFC. By that being the Rams.
Here's the thing for you. The Jets playing KC, Kansas City can't get out of their own way now. That might be a better play than the Raiders.
Well, that's just as risky, though, because if KC does fix whatever's ailing them, that could go horribly wrong. There's a lot. Trust me, I'm sticking with the Seahawks because I just don't see a better option. There's no better option available.
Yeah, they're all bad options.
They're roll the dice. I guess I could try it, but I mean, I'm not that desperate to start the Raiders.
I'm kind of in that spot at receiver at the moment. So, you know, we'll see how it works out.
All right, Kevin, where can people find you?
You can find us, of course, on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/thefantasyfootballguys. And of course, thefantasyfootballguys.com at TFFG on Twitter.
Awesome. Kevin, thanks for joining me in this football bramble, which I did not expect us to do, but it was a good conversation. So
yeah, it worked out well. Yeah, me too. Have a good day.
And this Thursday's Thursday night matchup, Washington Redskins traveling to the Dallas Cowboys for what is going to be no doubt a great game for ratings, but it's going to be an ugly, ugly game, isn't it, Kevin? Dallas Cowboys super fan here with me. We're both sitting with I'm Neil, Washington Redskins super fan, and we're both sitting here, Kevin, with brown paper bags over our heads.
Yes. Not even any eyes cut out. It's been a bad season, Neil. It's been a bad season.
It has. The quicker we get to 2018, the better, I think. Let's do we have to, Kevin? I suppose we do, don't we? Jay wants it. Sorry, Jay, we don't really feel like doing a preview for this matchup, but hey, let's go for it, Kevin. Yeah, what are we both, 5-6 at this point?
I believe so.
You guys won the first game this season. You won, what was it, 33-19? What killed us in that game, Kevin, was the fact that you did rush the ball for 169 yards. Unfortunately, the guy that got 150 of them won't be playing this week.
Yeah, fun. But, yeah, the game actually in Washington was probably a little closer than the score indicated because, I mean, Washington had a chance. They had the ball with a chance to tie on a final possession.
A strip sack, Kirk, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kirk threw a pick six to Byron Jones, of all people, and I can't believe he was actually within the vicinity of any football. But, yeah, it was it's hard to imagine that 4 weeks ago coming off that win, I felt good about this team, 4-3, going to play Kansas City, how the tides have changed. But, yeah, Zeke's obviously not going to be playing. There's a lot of change in Dallas since then. Anthony Brown has officially been demoted from starting cornerback because he's been a complete another disaster this year.
After
that surprising, sparkling rookie season, we thought we had a gem, drafted him in the sixth round. Cowboys fans were very hopeful about him, and this year he's absolutely fallen flat on his face. So it looks like we're gonna look for someone else in that position now. Awuzie, he's sort of back. He was healthy last week, but since he missed so many games this year, he only played 5 snaps. I expect for him to get in the game a lot more this week against the Redskins. Him and Jordan Lewis, let's see what they got thrown about there. I think Jeff Heath, he's been benched finally for good. Xavier Woods is going to be thrown out there at safety.
Okay.
So the Cowboys secondary is is making some changes. We're seeing what we got. I mean, there's no point in throwing the same people out there. We know they suck. So, I mean, it's true. And then,
is it Sean Lee though? Is that the key for you in defense, Sean Lee?
Yeah, he's not. Of course, it's the key, and he's not going to play. 99% chance he's not going to play. Hamstring, yes. So that really doesn't bode well for the defense, as you know. So I wouldn't be, even with the amount of injuries the Redskins have and the struggles they've been having.
But sticking with your defense, yeah. Though, Kevin, in the first game you had four sacks and you got constant pressure on Cousins in that game. Washington's offensive line obviously really poor. Everybody knows about the injuries there. Do you see DeMarcus Lawrence and David Irving, Tyron Crawford, getting pressure on Cousins? And is that going to be one of the keys of this game?
Well, how healthy is your offensive line compared to it was when we played you 4 weeks ago?
It's worse.
It's worse.
We have...
Trent Williams is still out.
There's a hope that Trent might play, but he's playing on one leg. Then we've got a replacement left guard. We're on to our third center. Sheriff will play, and Moses will play on the right side, but Moses is carrying two ankle injuries, so...
Well, I would hope that we can get some pressure. It's the part of the defense that I have the most faith in, even though that we've absolutely generated no pass rush the last 3 weeks ever since we beat the Chiefs. I think we have one sack in the last three games. But Lawrence and David Irving, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they can perform against your beat-up offense line, to see if they have any motivation to perform. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, I imagine he'll come out and play for the rest of the year because he's on the final year of his deal. He needs to perform for that fat, juicy contract he wants after the end of the year. So I expect DeMarcus Lawrence to come out and play for the rest of the year. I can't say the same about the rest of the defense. I really have zero expectations of how the defense is going to perform. I wouldn't be shocked if the Redskins score 30 points this week. I mean, just watching the Cowboys against Rivers, I know I heard your reaction to that. But like Rivers looks like Brandon Rivers is a good quarterback, but he was just slicing and dicing the Cowboys. I felt like he was throwing 7-on-7 drills. We didn't even have a secondary. It was absolutely preposterous. And granted, the Redskins haven't been as good offensively as they were last year, and now Chris Thompson's out and all those people. Terrell Pryor is not playing, but Josh Doctson seems to have picked up the pace. I can see him definitely having a touchdown. I think he scored in two straight games. Vernon Davis, could see him beating us. I don't know if Jordan Reed's going to play, but I could obviously, if he plays, I could see him having some success.
Jordan Reed is unlikely to play, but what I will say, Kevin, is Jameson Crowder had a fantastic week last week. He's back to full strength.
And he had a fantastic game against us 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. You know, sometimes, Kevin, you see a player and you think, yeah, you get a feeling that the guy's going to have a breakout game at some point. Mm-hmm. And at some point in the rest of the games this season, Doctson is going to have a huge breakout game. He is. You can see it when he plays. He's close. He's really close to having that breakout game.
He looks good. He looks like a big, tall physical receiver. And why not this week? As I was mentioning, the Cowboys are making some changes in the secondary. Our secondary is like the Panthers was last year, and it's just so young, so inexperienced. I mean, we got to get them to playing time, but there's going to be mistakes. There's already been mistakes. Now we're even younger, taking out Jeff Heath and Anthony Brown, putting in two rookies there. So if this is a game if you think Doctson's going to break out in the remaining five games, I don't see why it wouldn't be this game. Mm-hmm. Cowboys have failed to generate any pass rush the last 3 weeks. Our secondary has been completely exposed the last month. So
Okay, well,
I'd be licking my lips.
I mean, we can talk around the elephant in the room here by talking about Washington's offense and Dallas's defense and so on, even Washington's defense. We all know what they are. But let's face it, Kevin, the elephant in this room and the big thing in this matchup is your offense. What has happened? Is it players? Is it just Zeke? Is it the offensive line? Is it your coach? What's happened to it's gone from Zeke to Eek in 3 weeks? It's a shocker. It's a disgrace. It's shambolic. What's happened to the Dallas offense?
Neil, if only I could know. I mean, it's partially to do with everyone. Dak obviously is not. I'm not going to say obviously, but obviously he's not as prepared as we thought to lead the team without Zeke. To his defense, our offensive line has been banged up, but it's still there, and it's still definitely top 10 in the league.
Is Zach Martin playing in this game?
Yeah, he should be playing this game. I hear he's progressing well. And now that Tyron Smith's back, I know he's hurt. He definitely hasn't played this year up to his standards, but still. The offensive line is not really an excuse for Dak, aside from the Falcons game. He just isn't seeing the field well. He's not delivering the ball accurately. And I feel that when people are open, he's just holding the ball so long. I feel he's holding the ball way too long. And the Cowboys are surrendering sacks, not because the offensive line can't protect, but he's sort of – he's just not getting the ball out of his hands fast enough. Is he what?
Is he seeing ghosts?
I think he could possibly be seeing ghosts. I think he could possibly be putting too much pressure on himself. That's definitely a possibility. But, I mean, it's hard to – I would not want to be inside Dak's head right now. I mean, these are about – three back-to-back-to-back performances as poorly as they could have gone. I mean, I don't think the Zeke suspension could have started any poorly as it has. The Cowboys haven't scored more than 10 points in the game since Zeke has been out. I believe we were shut out in the first half again in Thanksgiving. We were shut out in the final two halves against the Falcons and the Eagles. So in the three games Zeke has missed, the Cowboys have been shut out in three different halves, which is just disgusting. It's unacceptable.
Obviously, when Elliott's playing, and Washington did it in the game with you guys, we basically stacked the box to try and stop him, and we couldn't stop him. And I presume other teams are stacking the box against Elliott. Now Elliott's out of there. And, okay, Morris is okay, a reasonable player. And the other guy who was running the ball for you last week, Rod Smith, he kind of looked okay, but they're not obviously Zeke Elliott quality. Our team's just stacking the box and maybe dropping an extra couple of guys and Prescott just can't deal with the extra bodies in the defensive backfield?
I really don't think so, Neil. I really don't think that's the major concern here. Because, I mean, obviously Zeke and Rod Smith aren't the player that Zeke is, but they're doing just fine.
Yeah.
They're not the problem. They're running the ball more than effectively enough. Both of them, I know this doesn't really tell the whole story or the story at all, but both of them actually have higher yards per carry than Zeke on the season. So obviously our offense is different without Zeke, but I would just like to throw that out there. Our running game still can function without Zeke. It still can take the burden off of Dak's shoulders. So that whole excuse, it really shouldn't be out there. That's the least of the Cowboys' concerns right now, is the Cowboys' running game without Zeke. As I was saying, I think Dak needs to get rid of the ball quicker. I think he's holding on to it too long. He needs to start using his feet more. He's like so reluctant to, unless it's like a designed read option where he takes the ball, like on normal pass plays, he's just so reluctant to take off and scramble. And while that's a good thing, keep your eyes downfield, try to see if someone breaks loose. But at some point, use the advantage that God give you and take off for 5-6 yards. Get ahead of the chains. The Cowboys are facing so many second and third down and longs, and they just can't do it. And another thing that I'm hearing is from multiple sources is that teams and players are saying that the Cowboys' play calling is just becoming so predictable and so painfully obvious, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball. So like all those gimmick plays that they have to Ryan Switzer, I hear teams like immediately know what's going on when they see all that stuff in the backfield going on. I hear that the Cowboys are just so vanilla on offense that, they're just so predictable when they're going to run the ball. And when they do play action, like I love when the Cowboys' main play action play is that stupid. It's not stupid, but right now it's stupid because every team knows it's coming. Is that bootleg with Dak and then like a tight end going out in the flats and then more receivers downfield, obviously. And the first read for Dak always is the short tight end to the flat as a safety valve. But that's every time now that's being taken off right off the bat. And Dak just gets so flustered and he can't find anything downfield.
Is that Scott Linehan? Is that Scott Linehan or is that Jason Garrett?
Yeah, Scott Linehan. I've read somewhere that the Cowboys may try switching up the play calling a little bit, but I doubt it. Scott Linehan's definitely going to resume the duties for the rest of the year.
Okay.
But I've always had a problem with Scott Linehan's play calling. I mean, it's been successful for the Cowboys, but that's partly because of the players that we've had. I've always thought his play calling has been too basic and too predictable. I really have. But we bailed them out in the past.
Don't you think, Kevin, it's like any coaching. If you have great players, coaching becomes much easier. If you have average players, then you really find out if you have a good coach or not.
And I'm not taking anything away from Scott Linehan. He definitely has some good designs. I've watched a few Cowboys games in my day and I've been like, oh wow, that was a really good play call. Those play calls where they have Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley on the same side, and there's like a little, it's like a little slant pick play. The Cowboys run that. They ran that a bunch in 2014 and 2015, and it was beautiful every time it worked. But I just feel Scott Linehan, every first down we run it. Literally, not every first down we run it, and it's so predictable. And obviously, teams are catching on. So we got to do something about that. But obviously, as you said, Dak just needs to play better. If he doesn't play better, our play calling means nothing.
Okay.
One last thing. You want to know the biggest indictment on the Cowboys?
No.
In week 14, the Cowboys are actually being, and listen to this, it's so embarrassing.
Sorry.
They're being flexed out of the 4 p.m. game against the Giants to the 1 p.m. slot, Neil. How embarrassing is that? It's like, wow, you guys suck. I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with the Giants being 2-9, but last year the Cowboys played 5 primetime games in a row at this point, being flexed into the Sunday night Tampa Bay game, and now 1 year later it's just a complete opposite. The team is a train wreck and it's so painful to watch.
Well, Kevin, before we wrap this up, let's just give us a couple of players, one on offense, one on defense, who are going to be X factors that could give you the win this week. I think, you look on defense with Washington and you think, if we're going to win a game, it's going to be with Ryan Kerrigan getting pressure, isn't it? But I think in this game, I want to get in Dak's face, and I want to see Matt Ioannidis, the young defensive tackle, get in there and get some inside pressure to just get some more ghosts into the mind of Prescott. And offensively, it's got to be Jamison Crowder. If Washington's going to win this game, it's going to be getting the ball out to him and letting him do his magic once he gets the ball in his hands. And when Jamison plays well, Washington tend to play well. So that's my two guys. What about you?
Well, I guess my defensive guy will be Xavier Woods. I mentioned that he's going to get more playing time. Jeff Hees is going to take a back seat finally. And Xavier Woods has actually flashed a few moments this year, had a pick or two. I think he only has one interception, actually. But he's forced to fumble, recovered a fumble. He definitely has playmaking ability. 6th-round rookie. I was super excited when we drafted him. He was a complete playmaker in college, 14 interceptions during his time at Louisiana Tech, I think it was. But it's going to be good to see him play for a majority of the game, see what he has. It's going to be fun to watch in the remaining 5 weeks. And on the offensive side of the ball, it's boring, but Alfred Morris, I guess. I mean, how could it not be Alfred Morris? Dak's struggling. He's the bell cow now for the Cowboys. His old team's coming in. I know he's played him already 3 times, but obviously those 3 games that we played, he really hasn't gotten in the opportunity he's going to get today. So I think he's going to want to come out and just run all over the Redskins. And really, I don't even care if he does or not, because I don't even care if we win or lose because the season's over. But yeah, that's the offensive X factor.
Give me a score.
Oh, wow. This is hard. I think every game this year I've picked the Cowboys to score over 20 points, but I just can't do it this game. I can't do it at all. I'm going to go Redskins 24 to Cowboys 16, and 16 is stretching it.
Okay. That probably includes a pick six, does it, from Cousins? I'm going to make it 19-17 to Washington, just eking out a victory in what's going to be an ugly, 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 ugly game. And Kevin, just so we can paint a little picture of your life there in New York, where will you be watching the game, and what sort of culinary catastrophe will you be concocting on the night of the game?
Okay, well, I'll be watching the game in my apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I probably won't be cooking anything because I'm too lazy and it's a weekday. I'll probably be ordering food. But yeah, this is a perfect time to get Twitter's opinion. So should I order Thai food, Indian food, or the good old fashioned buffalo wings for the game on Thursday at 8:30? Let's get your opinions, Twitter.
That's a big question. I think I might.
I know.
Ribs? No, like some ribs.
Yeah, I mean, I always want Thai food. That's always my first instinct because it's my favorite cuisine. But I feel it's football. You need something like, you need ribs or wings or pizza or something.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
and will you be wearing your Dallas Cowboys top?
I will be wearing my Dallas Cowboys hat. I think that could be the problem, Neil. I have 5 separate Cowboys hats.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, I don't know which one's the lucky one now because I've worn all of them this year, but I guess I've just been misguided in my hat.
I can see a sacrificial burning coming up with all your hats, and you buy a new one for next year.
Yeah, and what I definitely won't be wearing is my Cowboys socks because that did not go well on Thanksgiving.
Okay, so you'll be sitting there in front of the television, bare feet and a cap. Excellent. That's quite an image for us all.
I'll add to that image, Neil. I will 100% be barefoot in basketball shorts, no shirt, and a Cowboys hat. So, and maybe buffalo wing sauce on my face is still yet to be determined.
Well, that's a picture we can all imagine and enjoy, Kevin. And I've got one question for the listeners, and also for Jay. Jay, you're listening. First of all, sorry we've been going on for so long.
Isn't he listening anymore?
Oh yeah, he's listening. Yeah. Of course he is. He loves the NFC East. I would say, Jay, is Geno Smith starts for the Giants on Sunday, will he be the first quarterback in history to start for both the Jets and the Giants? Okay, we'll leave that with Jay and the listeners. Thanks, Kevin, and good luck, and let's hope we don't just embarrass ourselves on Thursday night, huh?
Thank you, Neil. Let us hope. I will talk to you soon.
Neil, the answer to your question is Leo Grosskopf, who is a first-round pick of the Giants in 1959. He played for the Giants, and then in 1962, he started 4 games for the New York Titans. So I suppose technically not a starter for the Giants and Jets, because the Titans weren't known as the Jets at that point. By the way, his season finale, I'm getting this from Sports Illustrated, 4 of 20 passing for 31 yards and 1 interception against the Houston Oilers. That is Grosskopf. Sorry. It also sounds like one of those made-up names that Neil would have for some player like Sody Jaberg. Herculean effort there by Neil and Kevin breaking down the game. The line opened up as the Cowboys as 2.5-point favorites. But it is now switched to the Redskins being 1-point favorites in this game on the road in Dallas. Man, it is a short week. I want to believe that Dallas is going to figure out what is going on and they're going to make the move to fix it. I just don't know if it's going to be this game or not. When you're going up against a division rival, one that you've already played, now you're without the guy that helped you beat that division rival earlier in the year in their house. I do feel like the advantage is with Washington. These Thursday night games have been tough. It seems like I've picked the wrong side of this game every single week. I'm going to pick Washington. I don't feel confident about it at all. If you can avoid this game, this would be a game to avoid. But I'll take Washington, a one-point favorite. So obviously that's pretty much, you might as well just call it a pick 'em at that point. But I'll take Washington. I mean, Neil said 19-17, so that's 2 points. So there you go. Hey, hope you enjoyed today's show. A little bit longer than our usual Wednesday show, but, you know, some great conversation, as I said, with Kevin. So give the fantasy football guys a try. Tune in again. You could subscribe on TuneIn or any of the great places that podcasts are heard, like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. So you can catch our Thursday previews. They'll be out a little bit later on Thursday afternoon, as they always are, previewing all of the games in week 13 of the NFL season. And of course, by subscribing, you'll also get those recap shows available for you first thing Monday morning. They're actually available probably really early Monday morning, because our guy Justin, who's out there in Seattle, puts that recap show together late Sunday night so that you can enjoy our wonderful takes on what happened in the week of football. So with all of that said, here comes Landry Jones. One day I'm going to make a mashup of Landry Jones and Jarvis Landry, because I always want to say Jarvis Landry is next, but it's not. It's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.